Young people, I'd like to welcome you tonight to Mourn. It's good to have the Youth Council rally here, and it's good to see each fellowship represented. We underline those words of welcome of our brother Stephen. And we do remind you of the supper afterwards as well. Just make your way across to the complex, go up the stairs, and you'll find the supper and refreshments provided. So maybe you're getting chips on the way home. Well, this will be a good starter, and you take plenty when you're over there, and a further time of fellowship. We thank Reverend Smith for leading our meeting, and we're going to come now to God's Word, Acts chapter 2. I just want to read some verses together. Just a few verses from verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the words of verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Amen. Just ending a reading at verse 43. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon it. Let's just unite our hearts together. A short word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. You pray, young person, the Lord might have a word in season, even for your soul tonight. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy presence with us. We bless thee, Lord, for each young person that's gathered in thy house this evening. We thank the Lord for each one that's saved, washed in the Savior's blood, and seeking to walk worthy of their calling in Christ. And Lord, we pray there might be a word in season to their heart, and indeed, Lord, to each one. For Lord, we're mindful there may be those still in their sin. And we pray this might be the night of their salvation, and thou would give them that deciding grace, that even where they sit, they might call upon thee, this is the only Savior of a lost mankind. Thank the Lord for our meeting thus far. Thank the Lord for those that have ministered in song and for the word of testimony. And oh God, we pray that thou would bless these even afresh to our hearts. And bless us now as we turn to thy word. Give us understanding. Give us, Lord, that concentration. Shut out every distraction. And I pray thou would fill us with thy spirit and with power, that we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A blight in the Church of Jesus Christ today, young people, is skin-deep Christianity. That is where a person might readily profess that there was a time in which they were saved, and they go to church if it suits, but that doesn't go much further than that. The preaching of easy believism has been a factor in all of this, of course, where someone can make a decision for Christ and then go out and live their lives whatever way they like. And there's little to no change, if any, in their life. And yet, young person, I find nothing of that in the Scriptures. Indeed, the very opposite. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things passed away, behold, all things become new. For someone to be truly saved, there needs to be and there must be of necessity that change of heart. And that change of heart will then manifest itself in the outward manner. But while that is one mark of a true believer, there are others. And tonight I desire to take you to a verse that will challenge you and will cause you to look into the mirror of God's word, and you will know where you stand before God. The question that faces us especially those who profess faith in Christ tonight, is, do I want to be a skin and bones Christian? Or in other words, saved by the skin of my teeth. I tell you, it is a scary thing to think of Christians who are just skin and bones. No meat on them. They haven't grown much in their walk with God. And then when the next wind of change blows, they're blown off course. Or when the next trial or difficulty comes their way, they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. The background to the verses that I've read in this chapter is, of course, the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out upon the preaching of the Word. It was that time when the apostles, endued with the power of God from on high, were to go forth and preach the gospel, starting in Jerusalem. And the preaching of Peter on that day was to all sorts of people, as you will find their countries mentioned there in chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. This was his commission. And the promise, of course, was given that he would receive power after that the Holy Ghost was come upon him, and he would certainly be a witness for Christ. And I want to tell you tonight, he was an effectual witness. For this truly was a day of great blessing. But I want you to note that those who profess faith just didn't stand still as far as their profession of faith was concerned. And they had opposition as well. For when you take a look at my text tonight, verse 42, you're looking at those who didn't want to be just skin and bones. They wanted to be fed. They weren't those who stopped at the starters. They wanted to and desired to get into the main dish. They wanted to be fattened. For we read, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's all I'm going to deal with tonight. Although the verse has other words in it as well, to which I will make reference to. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Three simple thoughts. You'll notice that people. Now, young people, let's do a little mining work as we go into this verse. And they. We've got to understand something of who the they refer to. And that causes you and me to go back a little, and we soon learn that these were the people who were convicted under the preaching of the gospel message. The Apostle Peter was the one who stood forth on that day of Pentecost. Yes, he was the same disciple who denied the Lord with oaths and with curses, but you see, the risen Lord had met with him. He had met with him on that seashore, and he was to restore him unto himself, and he was to give him a work to do. Thank God he doesn't cast off the backslider or the one that has grown cold of heart, and maybe that's you tonight. The Lord hasn't finished with you. He's still there where you left him off. And so under the preaching of Peter, we read it in verse 37, now when they heard this, heard the preaching, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see the word pricked there? It means to pierce. It means to penetrate. And when a sword or a sharp instrument is penetrated into you, there is acute pain. And what do we read of the Word of God? But that it is a sharper, two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. The Word of God entered into them. It cut them. It laid open their hearts and the sin and wickedness of them. They saw themselves as guilty sinners, and they were filled with remorse of conscience for it. They felt pain at their hearts and much uneasiness, and they were seized with horror and trembling, whereby they cried out, what shall we do? There was conviction over their sin. And that, of course, is the work of the Holy Spirit. For the Savior said he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Young people, where there's no conviction over their sin, there is no salvation from sin. These people, they were those who were convicted. But I'll take it a little further. They were the people who were converted. You see, the answer given to their question was, repent and be ye baptized. They had to repent of their sin. That's a word that is often found throughout the Scriptures. Repent and believe the gospel. It means a change of mind, a realization of what sin is. It means a change of heart, of being sorry, of being regretful for sin. It means a change of will, a repudiation of it, and a turning unto God. And these people were never to be the same again. As God did that work of grace in their hearts, and it was a work which they desired to be openly known by their baptism. An outward mode of grace that shows the inward work in the heart. Notice how they're spoken of in verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word. They had heard the message of the gospel preached, and they were a people who were made willing in the day of God's power, for they were enabled by His grace to accept it to the salvation of their souls. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Tell me, have you got there yet? Are you converted to Christ tonight? Are you saved from your sins? Are you washed in His blood that you've heard sang about? These people, they were convicted. Yes, they were converted. But we read of them in verse 42, they were a people in communion with the church. Where it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Even look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Not everyone who heard the message on the day of Pentecost were saved. You see, it states in verse 41, they that gladly received. The implication being there were others who didn't receive the good news of the gospel. But for these people who did, you'll notice what it says at the end of verse 41, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Unto who? They were added unto the church. They were saved, and now they were separated from the dead Judaism and unto the church of Jesus Christ. They were joined. They were added unto the 120 of what you and I read about in chapter 1 that were met there in the upper room. Those who were waiting in prayer and praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These people joined themselves to the church. They were in communion with those of like precious faith. Young person, is a scriptural thing to join yourself to the church that the Lord has led you to be part of that fellowship, to be part of that communion of the saints. I wonder, and I'm speaking maybe to slightly the older ones here, have you yet prayed about that? Maybe you see older ones and married couples coming in to membership in your own church, but have you ever considered it? You're getting to 18, 19 years of age. Have you prayed about that? So the Lord might show you where He would have you to serve Him. That's a scriptural thing. If you're saved, to join yourself onto those in the church. That's just a wee note about the people. But I want you to see here the priority. Was these people of whom it is said that they continued steadfastly, and we're going to look at that just in a moment or two. Well, what did they continue in? It says they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And I want you to think of those new converts, just young followers of the Savior, maybe just like some of you tonight. They had experienced a new birth. They had experienced God's salvation. And these words tell me that they had a priority. That was to learn more about the Savior. The apostles' doctrine was simply the teaching, the instruction of the apostles. And I can see them sitting down before them and having that eagerness to learn more and to drink in every word that they taught. And please note that it's the first in this text. There are other things there that they continued in. They continued in fellowship. They continued at the Lord's Supper. They continued in the place of prayer. But the priority was the apostles' doctrine. Their priority was to be grounded in their newfound faith, to know more of the message that they had heard and which they had believed to the saving of their souls. And what was that message? What was the instruction and the teaching of the apostles? What must all our preaching and instruction center upon? It is a consideration of Christ. You come back with me to the account of the day of Pentecost. You see Peter standing forth in Jerusalem, all the different dialects were in front of them, all the different people from the different countries. And having answered the criticism that they were filled with new wine, it wasn't that they were drunk, they were filled with the Spirit. I wonder, do you notice that what the first words were that he preached that day? You'll find them in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth. There's his first words. The apostles' doctrine was to center on Christ and to consider Jesus of Nazareth. There's no fanciful story in his introduction to get their attention. There's no illustrations. There's no nice wee social well-constructed phrases. There's no putting forth of his own ideas. Straight away, it's Jesus. What is the apostles' instruction about? It's about Jesus of Nazareth. What do these new converts want to consider and progress in? I could put it in the words of the hymn writer. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. The apostles, in speaking of Christ, were to show how he is one approved of God, verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among you, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. That approval was heard openly on various occasions, where the voice from the heavens was to declare, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was the one sent of the Father to be the only Savior for a lost and dying world. They spoke of Christ and his actions as well. For he performed those miracles. He performed those signs and wonders. Can you hear these new converts saying to Peter, "Tell us more of Jesus raising that man sick of the palsy"? Can you hear them ask them, or of that day when he stopped the funeral cortege going to the cemetery by raising the widow's son of Nain? Peter, can you tell us more of that day where you cast the nets on the right side of the boat as the Lord commanded you to do so, and the nets were full? The instruction was considering Jesus of Nazareth. But you'll notice also the apostles' doctrine was of the cross of Christ. Look at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter, in his preaching, he got them to the cross. He got them to Calvary. He spoke of the great plan of God's salvation decreed from the foundation of the world. That's what the opening words of verse 23 have to do with. It was determined that Christ should leave heaven and that he should be born of that virgin, that he would be the sinless, the spotless Lamb of God, that he lived a righteous life, and one day in obedience to the Father's will, he would give himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross itself. And there in that great plan of salvation, God permitted his Son to be taken by the hands of cruel and wicked men and crucify him on that middle tree. He could have called legions of angels to call him away from that. But he endured the cross. He despised the shame. For you see, the message at his birth was, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that meant offering his own life as that once for all sacrifice. That meant him shedding his own life's blood if his people were ever going to be saved. And these people heard the teaching of the cross of Christ. And that's why we read in verse 37 that they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted of their sin. Young people, so have you heard of the preaching of Christ. So have you been brought to the cross to consider the Lord and what he accomplished there. But I wonder, what does it mean to you tonight? The apostles' doctrine was furthermore of the conquering Christ. The apostles didn't leave the Savior on the cross. He was raised again from the dead, and quoting from the Old Testament, because young people, don't forget that the Word of God is all one unit without contradiction. The Old Testament prophecies of the Savior are fulfilled in the New Testament. And Peter was to show that God would not allow his Holy One to see corruption. God hath highly exalted him, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all with his witnesses. These verses speak of the Savior as the one exalted on high. Verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He's seated in power on the throne of God on high. And that's the Savior that these people had put their faith and their trust in. He's not dead. He's alive forevermore. And his enemies shall be made his footstool. And young person, tonight, these verses, they prove that the message of the gospel is all of Christ. That's what the gospel is. That's what the good news is. That's of the Savior. And the instruction and the teaching of the apostles, their doctrine, is all of Christ. Don't be scared of the word doctrine. It simply means the gospel. There's people today say, I don't want doctrine, don't like doctrine. You don't want doctrine, don't have the gospel. Simply as that, clear as that. It is the gospel message. And the apostles' doctrine is all of Christ. Now tell me, is it your priority to know Christ more and more? I'm talking to you as a young believer. Is it your priority that you would grow as a Christian? And I say this to you, and I say it tenderly, you will not grow as a Christian by spending hours on Facebook. Facebook is mostly for nosy people. Is that right? And some idiots tell them what I had for breakfast and where I did walk the dog and all that. You'll not grow as a Christian in hours on Facebook. But you will when you get your face into this book. And when you seek the face of God. You see, there's no substitute for a lifetime of learning about Jesus. You listen to what the Apostle Paul said as an old man. Philippians is believed to be one of the latest, last epistles that he penned. And it says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And by that time, God had used Paul in many different places. Churches were formed, souls were saved, but yet his desire, his priority was that I might know him. Is that your priority? The final thought I leave with you tonight is the persistence. You see, there are some other words that are in this little phrase that we need also to consider. It says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word steadfast means to adhere to persevere, to remain by one's side. It is nowhere recorded that any of these went back and turned away from the faith once delivered unto the saints. And think that even though they had been suddenly converted and then admitted to the church, and even though they're exposed to much persecution and contempt and many trials in their early Christian lives, for they were still meeting in the upper room, there's still the fear abroad of what the Jews would do, and they were scattered abroad within a few chapters. There was much persecution against the early church, yet the record is that they adhered to the apostles' doctrine. They adhered to the doctrines and the duties of the apostles' instruction and teaching. And young person, it's because they knew the gospel. It's because they knew more of Christ. It's because they knew more of His truth that they didn't go back. And in these words, I see the mark of a true believer. The mark of a believer is that they continue. Not through their own strength, as we heard in the testimony, but the work of God's grace in the heart will mean that which He hath begun, He will finish. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God has started, He will finish in your life. And when He finishes it, it'll be glorification. You'll be totally conformed into the image of Christ. The assurance of God's salvation is that one day the repentant sinner shall be with Christ, which will be far better. It is not we or you or I that keep ourselves, but we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You look at these young converts, and they continued. So repeat it again, verse 46. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart. You know, they stand in a great contrast to the types of ground that the seed fell upon in the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, verse 19, let me give it quickly to you. When anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So it didn't have any root. The devil comes immediately and snatches away the good seed. Verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's another one, and that's the one among the thorns, or the stones, I should say. Only stay for a while, no continuing. Verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. There's no continuing in him either. And those types of soil are types of the heart. The true child of God is one who continues in the word and brings forth fruit unto God's eternal glory. But these words also instruct us of the means of avoiding skin-deep Christianity. They continued in the Word of God. They were like the Berean Christians who searched the Scriptures daily. And young person, you want to progress, you want to grow as a young believer in this world of sin and wickedness, then you need to know this book. Daniel 11 and 32, the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. It will mean a willingness in your heart to be taught, a willingness to attend good, sound gospel preaching where your soul will be edified, not where your flesh is gratified. Well, there's plenty of that out there. There are no shortcuts. No courses of a few weeks that are portrayed these days in exploring the Bible that will suffice. The means of fulfilling the command to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, is to be found in His Word and under its instruction. And doing that in your own private time, as well as on the Lord's Day, as well as in the midweek prayer meeting, doing that, the Lord will be equipping you to go forth on the outreach teams. The Lord will be equipping you to go forth to other missionary opportunities that are opening up for our young people to help out in the mission fields under our mission board. You'll be grounded in what you believe. You'll be knowing Christ more and more daily. Here's a template for your life to be one of going on and progressing as a believer, and thereby not having a part of your testimony where you have to speak when you are backslidden and you want away from the Lord into the world, as we hear so much today. It's the same truth that is spoken of in Colossians 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Or James 1 and verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God's word is the perfect law of liberty. Young person, keep your gaze fixed on the Savior, the author and the finisher of your faith, and who fought the greatest battle alone, conquering principalities and powers and defeating the devil, and he did so that he might redeem you unto himself. You owe it to Christ who loved you and who saved you to continue steadfastly in the doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine. And if I'm preaching to someone tonight and you're not saved, then come now. That's when you start. Come now as a sinner just as you are. Realize where your sin is taking you to. Realize there's a Savior from all sin. And seek him while you may be found. Come tonight and know real joy and no satisfaction of soul and no forgiveness of your sin. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's a prayer of mine for young people in the Free Church, that you would go on. Thank you for listening. And trust the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts.